All right, well, let's get into the Word. Are you guys ready?
Amen.
Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. And Lord, we just open our hearts to hear what you have to say to us. Holy Spirit, we honor you as the teacher. I ask you to anoint my thoughts and my words. Help me to communicate clearly those things that you would have me to communicate. I pray for each and every person here, under the sound of my voice, that you would anoint their ears and their hearts, their minds, that they would hear and receive what you have for them. Father, we thank you that we will leave this place. We declare it today. We will leave changed for your glory, stronger. Father, I thank you for working in each one of us. Thank you for the plans and purposes that you have. We bind every work of the enemy that would come to steal and to destroy Satan. We bind you. We say Jesus is Lord in this place and over every person's life, over this time. And we declare that heaven's plans and purposes will be fulfilled in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Well, I want to share just a real basic word with you as I realize that many of you, you're in a church, you are well taught. And so I realize as I'm getting ready to share this word, this is my little disclaimer here. But I realize that many of you, what I'm going to be sharing, you already know. But I do also know that, and as I prayed, I just sense the Holy Spirit saying that this is an encouraging word, a teaching word for some of you. For those of you that have been believers for a longer time, and you know some of these things, I want to encourage you, maybe jot some notes down. These are things that you can share with others. You know, whatever you receive, you have a responsibility to share it. Amen? Isn't that right? There, you need to be discipling or putting into someone else's life. And so I want to challenge you today. Maybe you haven't thought about it that way, but I want to challenge you to think about, who are people in your life that you are discipling? In other words, that you're putting into them. Remember, Jesus commanded us in Matthew chapter 28. He said, go and make disciples, okay? Discipline followers, teaching them those things that I've already taught you and commanded you. That wasn't a suggestion. It's not just for the missionaries. It's for every one of us as believers. And, you know, it might be with a neighbor lady over a cup of coffee. It might be with the guy you work next to on the job. You know, it can be in any different situation, a Bible study, however. But I just want to encourage you, okay? I'm going to just say this, okay? I believe that every one of you are disciples. Okay, my lesson isn't on discipleship this morning. But I'm just exhorting you and encouraging you, okay? So all these things that you hear I listen to Pastor Tom. I don't know if you realize it or not. I love your website. That is so wonderful. I don't always have the radio on in the car, so I don't always hear the radio broadcast. But like I heard him here the other week teaching that message he taught, I believe it was on a Wednesday night on hell. And I was like going, I know you guys are going, what? You know, I hope you were here. But he had an excellent word on hell. And I was like, man, I gotta listen to this. And so I like to come out and listen to Pastor Tom, even though I'm not here. I love to come and hear what's being taught here. You guys are well taught, and what a blessing to have the ministry gifts you have here in this place. I hope you know that. Three of you? Okay, good. All right. So I'm going to tease you guys a little bit. Just you'll get used to me for those of you who don't know me. I want to share with you a word today, and I'm going to entitle it, The Benefits of Praying in the Holy Spirit. The Benefits of Praying in the Holy Spirit. Let me share just real quickly a little bit of my testimony. I grew up in, I would call it a nominal Christian home. I grew up on a farm in Wisconsin. My parents would go to church sometimes. I mean, I would have viewed myself as a Christian. I had an uncle that would take me and my sisters to Sunday school in a local Methodist church. I mean, we were in one of those small farm towns where there were only two churches, a Methodist church and a community church. And the pastor of the Methodist church, he was the pastor of both of them. Okay, you get the picture. And so, I mean, there just weren't a lot of churches in a very rural area, really a large rural area there. And so that was kind of my background. And it wasn't until I was probably, I'm thinking I was around 10, 11, somewhere in there, where I had what I would call a truly born-again experience. And where I really understood what I was doing. I heard Billy Graham on the television one evening. He interrupted my favorite evening program, and I was upset. I remember thinking, what is this guy being on prime time? You got to remember, this is late 70s, and thinking, you know, this is, you know, as a kid, you're just like going, this is so boring. You know, Mom and Dad, why are you wanting to listen to this? And but I remember sitting in the room there and hearing him give an altar call at the end and being convicted and going in and asking the Lord to come into my life and to save me and to forgive me of my sins. And I that's what I really look at, is that experience of being born again. Well, then it was sometime later, probably, I don't know, maybe a year later, my family moved down here to Oklahoma, and we had some friends that had come down to go to Rhema Bible Training Center in Tulsa, and so we had begun going to some meetings there, to a local church there in Tulsa, and I began to hear about this gift of tongues, or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I thought, what is this? This is kind of, seemed a little bit different, but the more I was around it and heard some teaching, I needed this. I wanted this. I desired this in my life. And so, as a young man, I remember going and going down to the front of the service, or after the service, to the front to be prayed for and to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of praying in other tongues. And I have to tell you, that was a huge turning point in my life as a Christian, where the Bible had been hard for me to read. Things were, I didn't always understand everything. I mean, I recognized, okay, there's something here, but it just, you know, I didn't have maybe the zeal, the fire that I, you know, I thought I should probably have, or I saw in other people's lives. And so that experience, and subsequently praying in the language of the Holy Spirit, or tongues, or praying in the Holy Spirit, the Bible uses different phrases and throughout the New Testament to refer to that. But it really was a game changer in my life. And as we go through some of these things here today, I'll share just some different testimonies, things that the Lord has done in my life. And I know that many of you have similar experiences. But today, part of the reason I want to encourage you in this is, as we begin to look at this, a couple thoughts here. You know, if we talk about prayer, you know, many times, you know, we get all kinds of ideas in church circles, and you can hear all kinds of things, but just a few quick thoughts here as we begin to talk about, very specifically about praying in other tongues or praying in the language of the Holy Spirit. Let's just talk about prayer in general, okay? We understand that prayer is what? It's communicating with God, right? Okay, prayer isn't just all talking. Prayer is also listening, right? I like to say it this way: God gave us two ears and one mouth. It's kind of a sign to us. Maybe we need to do like twice as much listening as we do talking. Can I get an amen? Amen. And so prayer is communicating with God. But Jesus said something very interesting. And I'm, for you guys back there, I might be hopping around a little bit, and I apologize for that. I'm just kind of letting the Holy Spirit lead me here and with the notes and whatnot. But anyway, you guys okay with that? Good. Thank you for those three of you. No. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, he was teaching the disciples, because they had come to him and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And so he began to teach them what we call the Lord's Prayer. We're all familiar with that, most of you, if you've been around the church. He says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name, if you're reading the old King James English. And it says, I want you to notice this, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I want to stop there. Notice what he says. He says, your kingdom come. We're praying this. Lord, your kingdom, your rule, your reign, your ways come here in the earth, okay? Your will be done. And notice this phrase, on earth as it is in heaven. So when you begin to think about, what is it like in heaven? Is there sickness and disease in heaven? No. Is there sorrow and all kinds of things? No. We know that heaven is a wonderful place. And so Jesus, one of the foundations he's teaching here is we are to pray, and there's an implied thought here. And what is that? The implied thought is, if we don't pray, that his will will not be done here in the earth as it is in heaven. And so here's kind of a foundational thought as we begin to look at this today. When we begin to think about prayer, is that there is an element of authority. There's an element of responsibility that we as individual believers and as the church corporately have here in the earth. Over in Matthew 18:18, Jesus said, "Whatever you bind on earth," you know the scripture, "will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Isn't it interesting? Notice, whatever you bind on earth first. So in other words, here is this indication again that there's something that we have to do. Now we understand it's not all us, but we can recognize it's not all God either. We oftentimes, I like to say it this way, there is a God side and there is a man side. You know, we think about it, if you think about it just in the basics of salvation, Jesus died on the cross. He gave his life. He was raised up. He purchased our salvation, the God side. But there is a man side. It's whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Isn't that right? He doesn't make someone call on him. He doesn't make us receive or make Jesus the Lord of our lives, does he? That's the man side. We have a responsibility, something we have to do. And so with this kind of foundational thought here, I want us to come over and we're going to look here at this, what we call the praying in the Holy Spirit or praying in tongues. And I like to think of it like this. I think of it sort of like a tool belt. You know, my dad was, he's got a tool shed and every kind of tool you can imagine. If I need anything, he's my go-to guy. You know what I'm saying? This last month, our son Josiah, he turned 18, and so for his, it would be like the Eagle Scout project, if you're familiar with Boy Scouts. They're part of a scout troop. It's called Trail Life, and they have to do kind of a final project. And so has his final kind of Eagle Scout equivalent type project. It's called the Freedom Life Award. He was building a handicap wheelchair ramp for a family in North Tulsa, and a very poor family, didn't have a lot, and so on and so forth. And he was doing it in cooperation with the Dream Center in Tulsa that does community work and stuff. So we had to come up with some tools. And, I go out in my garage. I've got, I got a hammer and I got a few wrenches and stuff. So, I'm needing power saws. I'm needing some heavy-duty drills. If you've ever built decks and stuff, these nowadays you use the screws and you want a good power drill. One of those guys just, and just pops them in. I had one of these old battery power things. It's like, I need some good tools. And so he had some of his scout, buddies, guys working on this. So we needed to have numerous tools. So, we went over and got all that stuff and got it done, and quite a project. But here's the point I'm trying to make. A good tool can make all the difference in doing a job. How many of you men can say amen? I think you women can relate too. Sometimes there's some utensils in the kitchen or whatever type of work you do that, man, it can just make the job so much easier. I think about, if I go back and I think about this project that my son was working on, we ended up having to dig post holes to set posts to anchor this whole decking for this wheelchair ramp. And we got up there to the house, and fortunately, we had there was another scout dad, and he's done this sometime, and he said, listen, he said, you need to go rent yourself an auger or find somebody that's got one. Don't use the old post hole digger method. And I'm just thinking, I grew up on the farm. We used to go out and dig post holes all the time. I'm like, what's the big deal? But I was wise enough, to listen to him, and plus I wanted to get this project done. And so we got that post hole digger, auger, and I'm telling you what, I was so glad we got that thing. Because later in the project, we were doing a little bit of landscaping work and just, digging up and laying a little flower bed thing there. Man, I'm sitting there with that shovel trying to just get that thing in that clay, and I'm like going, oh my goodness, I'm so glad I had the right tool. So I want you to think about this for a moment. One of the tools that God has given to us is this gift of the Holy Spirit with the evidence or this the ability to pray in a heavenly prayer language. And so I want to just kind of lay a little more of a foundation here from the Bible. So I hope you guys don't mind. We're going to look at a few Bible verses. We're in church. Is that okay? We look at the Bible? Okay, good. All right. Let's look real quick at a couple verses here. We're talking about benefits of praying in the Holy Spirit. We want to talk about what is praying in the Holy Spirit. Let's look in the book of Acts, chapter 1. And we're going to read in verse 8 here. And we see here this is one of Jesus' last commands before he is taken up into glory. And he says here, "But you shall receive power," Greek word there is dunamis. We get our root word dynamite from that root word. "When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth," or the uttermost parts of the earth in some versions. So we see here the promise. He gives this promise to his disciples. Well, let's jump over to Acts chapter 2, and we see here what we call the outpouring of the Holy Spirit when he was poured out in the earth. Beginning in verse 1, and he says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And I want you to notice that last phrase. We're going to be referring back to it. "And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Okay, then let's jump back to the book of Acts chapter 8. We're going to look at some other experiences here in the early church. And we see here in Acts chapter 8, and I'm going to begin in verse 4. This is says, "Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word." So there had been a persecution that had come against the church in Jerusalem. And it says, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes, with one accord, heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many, were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in the city." Okay? Then let's jump down to verse 14. It says, "Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit." Now notice this, okay? They've already heard the word of God preached, okay? Many, it says, multitudes have believed. But notice here, he says, "They've come down that they might pray for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet, he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit." Okay? Then let's jump back over here to the book of Acts, chapter 10. And we're going to look here in verse 44. Now here, just the background here, an angel has appeared to a Roman centurion called Cornelius, and it said, "Send for a man named Peter." He sends Peter, or sends his servants. They bring Peter back to his house. And so here Peter is coming into a Gentile home, which for him as a Jewish man, you know, was just taboo. But the Lord had given him a vision saying, "Go with these guys." The Lord had spoken to him. And so we see here Peter's sharing in this household of these Gentile people, of this Roman centurion. He brought a whole group of people together. And in verse 44 of Acts chapter 10, "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished." In other words, the other Jews with him. "As many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who've received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. So here we see these people receive the baptism. They believe and they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then they baptize them in water. Okay? So very interesting. But notice when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, I want you to notice it says they began to speak with tongues. Then let's look back here in Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. And I'm going to read here verses 1 through verse 6. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Okay, notice that phrase. He seems to make a distinction here, okay? So they said to him, "We've not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on him, notice this, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So I want you to see here that there is a distinct experience separate from being born again. Sometimes it happens very instantly with the Gentile believers in Cornelius' household. Obviously they believed and received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit just fell on them. But we recognize that there is a distinct experience that God has for every believer. Now, let me just throw out this thought here, okay? Because I know there's some of you, maybe this always comes up when you teach on this. People say, well, maybe they haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of praying in tongues. And they say, well, I'm a believer and I have the Holy Spirit. And I agree, you do. Every born-again person has the Holy Spirit. Over in the book of Titus, chapter 3, it talks about the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is involved in us being born again, without a doubt. Every believer has the Holy Spirit. I'm not here to make an argument about that. I'm just wanting us to see something, and I know many of you know this, but it can be helpful to us to understand that God has a special tool, if you will, for every one of us as believers. And so today as I share on this, here's my heart. I want to encourage you, maybe if you haven't stepped into this, or maybe as a believer, maybe it's something you haven't fully realized the benefit of. And I say this because as I've had the opportunity to be here in the States, and we get around a lot of different groups just because of some of the circles we're connected with. Some are Spirit-filled, some aren't. When I say Spirit-filled, in other words, I'm implying or saying that there are people who believe in speaking in tongues and do it. But I've noticed, and it actually is a little bit of a concern to me, because I see people that are, I would call them Spirit-filled, they speak in tongues, and I look and I'm thinking, I don't see them doing it. I don't see it like it's an integral part of their lives. And here's my passion, my desire is just as we look through some of these benefits we're going to look at here in the Word of God, I want you to come away today with this realization or a greater appreciation. Wow, God has given us something, given me something as a believer. A unique tool, something that can help put me over in this life, that can help me to be victorious in situations that wipe other people out. Amen? Hello? I don't know about you, but man, I appreciate a good tool. And I think you men, you understand what I'm talking about. We first came back, I won't say who it was, but somebody blessed me with a pair of limb loppers. Do you know what I'm talking about? They're the kind of the big things like this. They got the nice heavy-duty blade on the end, and you can just go out and chop, you know, limbs off and stuff like that. And I had the house that we're in, it was a foreclosed home we rent there, but when we first got in, we got a really cheap rent, but part of the deal was I had to do some work and clean up. So there was a lot of yard work, a lot of trimming to do. So somebody blessed me with a pair of limb loppers. And let's just say it this way, okay? There's good ones, and then there's some not so good ones. And this fell into the category of not so good ones. I mean, it was, you know, they were duct tape on the end with a piece of wood where part of the handle broken off, and the blades kind of, you know, it didn't like quite slide together real handy. So, man, I'll tell you what, I went down to Lowe's and I got me a nice pair of limb loppers. And I tell you what, it's, you guys know what I'm talking about. It's night and day difference when you got a good tool. You just reach up there and pop. It comes right off. Versus the other one, you're sitting up here and you're doing this, you know, and the duct tape starts to come loose and the handle starts to break, you know, all that kind of stuff. Spiritually speaking, okay, we have a powerful tool here. And so as we look at this, I just want you to approach this maybe with a fresh set of eyes this morning as we look at the gift of the Holy Spirit, as the Word of God calls it, with the evidence of praying in tongues, okay? And so let's turn over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're going to begin here. And I'm just going to kind of throw some thoughts out. I'll see how far we go. I don't want to wear you guys out or keep you here. I know you guys, I don't know if you're one of those 12 o'clock crowds, you know, you got to be out over to the buffet or something like that. I mean, I don't know. But anyway, I want to honor your time. But I do want to just deposit some things by the Holy Spirit, stir some things up in your heart, in your life, okay, concerning some things. So we're talking about praying in the Holy Ghost or other tongues. Why is this important? What are the benefits? What's the big deal about this? Okay, let's look here. We'll begin in 1 Corinthians 14, and let's begin here in verse 2. Notice what he says here. He who speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. So point number one, I'd like to just draw your attention to. Notice he says, when we speak in an unknown tongue, we're not talking to men, okay? We're talking to God, directly to God, okay? Okay, we don't understand what we're saying, but it's a supernatural language that God understands. And, you know, I back in, what was it, 2003, Seish and I, it was our 10th anniversary, wedding anniversary. So for you guys that like to do the math in your heads real quick, that means we were married in 1993. So we were in the Czech Republic, and Seish had been saying while we were there in Czech, she says, you know, I have this desire. I'd like to visit certain European cities and all this stuff, and I really want to go someplace special for our 10th wedding anniversary. So I'm just like, well, praise God. I didn't know quite what to, you know, I'm thinking or whatever. Well, it just so happened we had just gotten back from the States, and we got a letter in the mail from Lufthansa Airlines, and they said, you have X amount of airline miles, because we'd been flying back and forth between here and the States, and we had to use them by the end of the year, which was only like a month or two away. And so we got looking, we thought, well, where can you go? Because it wasn't a whole lot. We couldn't fly back to the U.S. And so we saw we could fly to London. Free flights, round trip to London. So we quickly pulled it together, had another missionary friend that came over and watched our boys while we were gone. And we took off for, I don't know, was it 4 or 5 days or something like that? And we flew over to London. And we had some other missionary friends in the London area. And so they helped us organize a place to stay. It was actually a convent. So there were some nuns, had a spare room. We stayed there. Anyway, that was, I don't know that that was the most romantic experience. There was some interesting pictures hanging on the wall. But anyway, and it wasn't a double bed. It was two separate beds. I'm just saying. But anyway, hey, you know, we got to London. So long story short. So we'd hop on the train or their subway system, and we would, you know, go down. And we just enjoyed ourselves just looking at some sights and so on and so forth. And one of the places we went to, that was really, really interesting for me. I enjoy World War II history. And so this particular place was underground bunkers where Churchill and all of the head guys during World War II, where they stayed at, deep underground. So when the German bombers, when they were bombing London, these guys were underground and they were safe. And so you go through all of these rooms, you know, they got the big war room with the map of, you know, all of the Atlantic where they tracked the convoys coming across. They had, you know, where Churchill, where they would sleep at, you know, all these different things. Very, very interesting. But there was one little room that was captured my attention. It was just a little tiny room. I mean, it probably wasn't like this big. All was in there was a little table, a chair, and a red telephone. That red telephone was a direct connection to the president of the United States at that time, Franklin Roosevelt. And so Churchill and Roosevelt would get on that phone to talk about top secret types of things, what was going on. And I want to tell you that we have something better than a red telephone to the president of the United States. When you pray in your heavenly prayer language, okay, you're talking directly to the creator of the universe. You're talking directly to Jesus, your Lord and Savior, the one who knows everything. He knows what to do. So you have a hotline to heaven. Amen? Is that good news? It's good to remind ourselves of that. Okay, let's look down here at verse 4. It says, he who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Notice what he says here. When you pray in your heavenly prayer language, you edify. Now that word might seem a little strange to us nowadays. We could say it this way, builds himself up. You know, most of us have mobile phones or a laptop computer, and they run on a battery, don't they? And how many of you have recognized that sometimes you've got to plug those things into the wall under the charger to charge that battery up? Because if you don't, your phone dies, right? There's nothing more frustrating than being in the middle of a phone call or trying to do something and your battery dies. Well, we have a picture here of charging ourselves up, just like a battery. And I don't know about you, but there's times when that's the best way I can describe it. I feel like my battery has run dry. Do you know what I'm talking about? You're in the middle of a situation or circumstance. I know back here in May, my dad, he thought he had the flu. They'd just gotten back from a trip. And he had a previously scheduled doctor's appointment, which he was thinking he wasn't going to go to. He's like, I don't feel so good. I just got the flu. I want to stay home. Well, my mom fortunately says, no, I think you need to go in because you just don't seem like you're doing real hot. Well, they took him into the hospital. Ends up, he was having a heart attack. His kidneys were not functioning, and he had Legionnaire's disease, a form of pneumonia. And the doctor said, it's a good thing you got him in here because I don't know if he'd last another day. And so, you know, when those sorts of things hit you, and I remember that first few days, I mean, really, we were in a fight for his life, standing and believing for him, praying for him. But, you know, thank God for the ability to pray in other tongues, because those sorts of things, it's like it just drains your emotional battery, your mind. You feel wiped. But praise God, you can come and just begin to pray. Lord, thank you. Begin to pray in the language of the Holy Spirit. And your inward man is charged up. You're strengthened. So suddenly where there you didn't sense any energy or strength. Energy, strength, and power comes. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. I know you do. Praise God. What a blessing. You can just jot this verse reference down in Jude verse 20. He says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying, okay, there they got it, praying in the Holy Spirit or praying in the Holy Ghost. So there is a building up and edifying of ourselves when we pray in that heavenly prayer language. Okay, so we've talked about speaking directly to God. Okay, we've talked about edifying or building ourselves up. Number three, praying the perfect will of God. Let's look here in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 14. Now, I'm going to read from the New King James Version, then also from the Amplified. New King James Version says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." And I like the Amplified Version. It says, "If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, by the Holy Spirit, prays within me." I like that. My spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me, prays. Remember, we looked at that verse in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. It says the Holy Spirit gives us utterance. He gives us the words to pray and to speak. Let's flip back here a couple pages to Romans chapter 8. And I want us to look at another verse that can help us in our understanding about the benefits of praying in the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, and I'm going to read verse 26 and 27. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses." King James Version, I believe, says, helps us in our infirmities. "For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought to, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." So notice this. When we pray in our heavenly prayer language, and we understand it's the Holy Spirit, he's praying through us. He's giving us the utterance, the words to pray. We are praying, I love what this says, we're praying the perfect will of God. Have you ever been in a situation where you just didn't know what to pray? I mean, your mind is just, you're drawing a blank. I remember back in, and I've probably shared this story before, but I remember back in the early 90s, I'd gotten a phone call at work, and my sister had been in a car accident. She was pregnant. Matter of fact, she'd been into the hospital, and they said, "Well, we want to give you another week or so, go home." And tragically, she was in a car accident where she barely lived, and she lost her baby. And I remember getting the phone call at work, and you know, I was waiting for somebody to come and relieve me so I could go up to the emergency room. And I remember going in the back of that place where I worked, and just my mind, my emotions, I felt overwhelmed. You know, because, you know, at that time, it sounded like I didn't even know if I was going to make it to the hospital in time to see her before, you know, she passed away. That's how serious it was. And I just remember as I began to pray, and I just said, "Holy Spirit, I thank you. Father, I thank you that you know this situation and that you can pray through me the perfect prayer." And as I began to pray, you know, and just praying out those things, I was praying the perfect will of God in that situation. I can think of another time. I can think of lots of stories, actually, but I'm just telling you a few. And these are my experience, okay? I know that many of you have them as well. But back in 2002, we had been doing a Bible school in Prague, and just one Bible school. And we were in a relationship with a local church. We'd been renting this facility. And I just suddenly, as Sasha and I, we would be praying, we just felt like we need to get out of this agreement. But at the time, it didn't make sense because I'm thinking, okay, I know I'm supposed to be doing Bible schools here, but I don't have any idea, you know, if I can this place. Because it was a sweet deal. Trust me, it was a really good deal. And so I'm just thinking, what am I going to do? But, you know, as we kept praying, we'd pray in the Holy Spirit. And really, it was the Holy Spirit. It just kept coming to us. As we'd pray out the perfect will of God, okay, you know, in our understanding, we just saw a step. And so we finally, I just said, "Well, I feel like we're supposed to take the step of just canceling this agreement." So we did that. So we came back to the States. It was during the summer. And, we're here visiting churches and traveling and speaking and talking to people. And all the time in the back of my mind, I'm just thinking, "Lord, I don't have a place lined up over there. Nothing had come together. this thing just does not make sense from the natural. But we would be praying together, and I'll never forget, we were praying in Satia's folks. We were in their living room. We were praying one morning, and Satia says to me, I just keep feeling like we're supposed to call a particular Czech pastor in a city outside of Prague and offer to do Bible school out there in his place out there. Because we did know that there was a couple people that had sent in applications to students from his city. And it was about a 45-minute hour drive away. And, you know, we were just like, as we prayed about it, we just like, yeah, okay, let's do that. So we called. And he was just like, oh, that would be wonderful. It just began to fall into place. Well, on about this time, right before we got ready to go back to check, you know, I'm still thinking in my mind, you know, you think this seems kind of weird. You know, it's like, Lord, what's going on here? Well, there was I believe they called it a 500-year flood in Czech Republic. And if you know anything about the city of Prague, through the center of the city is a river. It runs from the Alps all the way, it runs north, actually up through Germany and all the way out to the North Sea. Well, this river flooded. They call it a 500-year flood. In other words, it's like, you know, this only happens once every 500 years. It literally just wiped out the transportation network throughout that city and that region. The subway system, a lot of the tram lines, so the train lines, stuff just, it destroyed them. And so the city was basically for the next year, I mean, it was just a real challenge to get around the city because you just lost so many forms of transportation. And I could tell you lots of stories about that, funny stories. But anyway, we won't go there. But here's the point I want to make. As we were praying in other tongues, see, the Holy Spirit, we were praying out that perfect will of God. He knew what was going to happen. He knew, okay, that this was going to happen and that we wouldn't have been able to have Bible school in Prague because people wouldn't have been able to even get around the city to be there for classes. And so it ended up, we were able to do this school about 45 minutes to an hour outside of Prague. Ended up, we had people coming from Prague, coming out there to go to school. And I think we had one of the largest classes we'd had up to that time, you know, in this particular place. And so when we pray in our prayer language, He knows He can pray through us the perfect will of God. Amen? Okay, so we see here that the benefits are we speak directly to God, okay, that we edify and build ourselves up, that we're praying the perfect will of God over our lives. Okay, let's turn over here and let's look at another one in John chapter 14, verse 26. John chapter 14 and verse 26. And it says, Jesus is speaking here and He's talking to His disciples. And He's saying this, He says, but the Helper, okay, the Holy Spirit, some of your translations that might use the word comforter, the Old King James, which interestingly comes from the Greek word parakletos, which means helper, standby, one comes alongside to help, an intercessor, an advocate. It has a lot of really diverse meanings there. So Jesus uses this word and He says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, notice this, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So I want you to see here that one of the benefits when we begin to pray in the language of the Holy Spirit is that He will teach us, okay? But He'll bring things to your remembrance. And I could tell story after story of how the Lord has supernaturally brought things to my mind or showed me, reminded me of something, helped me find something, helped me to see something. I'm particularly reminded, though, of an interesting story. I heard a man by the name of Terry Law, missionary evangelist, and I think he's probably been here and spoke before in years past, but a great man of God. The Lord has used him a lot in going into restricted access countries, and particularly back in the 70s and 80s, he would take teams in and they would go into Eastern Europe and the former USSR, and they would go in there secretly to distribute Bibles and minister to the underground church and stuff like that. And he was interrogated many times by the secret police, but I'll never forget this story he told. And I may have a few of the details not quite exactly right, but here's the essence of it. I just thought it was so interesting. He had a burden on his heart. He said he'd just been praying in the language of the Holy Spirit. He knew there was a problem. Something was going on. Well, in the middle of the night, the secret police came and knocked on his door of the place where they were staying, took him away, and began to interrogate him. And he said as this went on for however long it went on, suddenly he said as they were, you know, pressing him with questions and, you know, all of the different things that they were doing, suddenly he says he just, out of the inside of him, it just came out, he began to quote what would be like their constitution or some of their laws. Part of that being the freedom of religion and the ability to do all these things, which, of course, we know that they had some things on books, but it wasn't necessarily allowed. And so as he just began to say this, he said, you know, at the time he was saying, he's thinking, how do I know this? Where is this coming from? He said, it's not something I've memorized. He said, I probably had read it sometime in the past, but it wasn't something that was, you know, stuck back there in my something I'd memorized. But he just, you know, this just came out of him. And he said it shut the mouths of the secret police. And they were like, all right, fine, okay, go. But here's my point. Sometimes you can be in a place, and when you realize this, okay, the Holy Spirit can and will bring things to your remembrance supernaturally that you need to know. So when you see, if you know that, you can make a demand upon that in your life. Amen? Praise God. Let's look at another one here. Let's flip over just a page or so to John chapter 16, and we're going to read verses 13 through 15. John 16, verses 13 to 15. Here again, Jesus is saying, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, okay? He says, when he has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. There are several things we can see here again. Obviously, he's going to teach us. He's going to bring things to our remembrance. He's going to guide us into the truth. We have a trustworthy guide. But I want you to notice this phrase, he will tell you things to come. You know, when you spend time praying in the language of the Holy Spirit, he will show you things to come in your life that you need to know. He's not, you know, he's probably not going to tell you, you know, every little detail, but he will tell you the things you need to know. You know, I can think of, I have a good friend that he tells this interesting story. This has probably been a number of years ago, but he had quite a significant amount of money in some stocks in the stock market, and he was just sitting praying one morning, praying in other tongues, and all of a sudden, it just flashed like in his mind's eye, or you know, on the inside of him. He saw his stock, he saw the price, and he saw a date, and he knew on the inside of him all of a sudden he needed to sell that stock on that particular time. And I think his pension, his retirement, had something to do with that. It was tied up in that. And, you know, at the time it didn't make sense because that particular company was doing exceptionally well. And so, but it was so real to him as he was praying in the Spirit, he thought, well, I'm just going to obey the Lord, you know. I said, you know, I don't have anything really to lose. And so on that particular date, he said to his surprise, his stock price, that stock price of that stock was exactly what he'd seen in that picture that he'd seen. It had been, I think it had been several weeks before or something like that. He was like, wow. So he sold it. Well, the next day, the company came out, made some announcements, and overnight, the stocks just tumbled, went down. Isn't that just like the Lord? He's got things like that for all of us. He is not a respecter of persons. He can show you things to come that concern you, your family, your finances, your job. He can prepare you for things. I think about, you know, how the Lord led and guided Seisha and I when we, you know, we were working and I'd been on a missions trip with Greg down in Cuba and I came back and I just, as we were praying, I just was like, okay, I kept feeling like it's time for a change. I knew it was time for a change, but I didn't know what to do. And, you know, in my mind, you know, you try to think about all these different scenarios. Well, I could, you know, go, you know, apply to be a pastor, assistant pastor over here. I could go do this, all this stuff. But I'm just like, it didn't quite set right. And as we were praying, there was one night on the way home from church, suddenly it's like the Holy Spirit just showed me, quit your jobs, go to the mission school. And then while we were at the mission school, we were praying in one of our classes one day, and just the Holy Spirit just showed us we were supposed to go to Czech Republic. So I'm just saying that God has specific things in your future that he knows that he wants to reveal to you. He's not hiding things from you. So when you take the time to use this wonderful tool, okay, he will show you things. He'll speak to you, okay? You know, I'm just going to jump around here just a little bit, but, you know, one of the things praying in the language of the Holy Spirit does is it sensitizes your spirit. Do you know what I mean by that? It's kind of like, I think of, you know, a lot of times we have our mobile phones and, you know, maybe like sometimes if I'm on an airplane or something like that, we click it to airplane mode. It shuts down all the communication stuff on it. But when you get off the airplane, you click it on so you can check to see if you've had any phone calls, you know, check email, all that kind of stuff. There's a few minutes where that phone, it's getting located. It's getting connected. And, you know, I think sometimes of the same way of praying in that heavenly prayer language. You know, it's like, it's just like, it's like my spirit, I'm connecting with God. I'm getting all hooked up. I'm getting sensitized. I'm tuning in like a radio dial. You know, it's like, I think of it this way. God is always speaking. He has things for each of us. But we have to tune in. We have to sensitize, just like the radio down the car. You know, sometimes you punch the buttons and it'll scan through, and sometimes you got to tweak it just a little bit. Just click it over one degree, or I don't know, whatever they call it, frequency. Wes could tell me what that was, but anyway. But you know what I'm talking about. You get tuned in to get the signal of what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. So praying in the Holy Spirit will sensitize your spirit, help you connect to him. I like what it says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 19. It says, what? Know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Notice that phrase, what? Don't you know? Praying in the Holy Spirit will help you to have a God consciousness. I don't know about you, but, you know, sometimes there's days, there's things that, you know, you're busy working, there's things going on. And I don't know about you, but you can get so caught up in your daily activities that, I really try not to do this, but you know what I'm saying? It's like sometimes you just like step back and you go, oh, it's like you just want to pull back. And one of the wonderful things about praying in the Holy Spirit is it helps you just like connect back an awareness. Lord, you're here with me. You got this under control, Lord. Thank you. Just a sensitizing, a connecting, an awareness that God is God. He's got it under control. Amen? Praise the Lord. You guys doing okay? Okay, I'm not wearing you out or anything? Well, three of you, okay. I'll hurry. Let me just share a few other thoughts here. Here's one thought. Let me just give the references here. In 1 John 4:4, we know the verse, most of us do. It says, you've overcome the world, for greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. And that really ties in what I just said, that when we pray in the language of the Holy Spirit, it just brings an awareness of the greater one inside of us. And I like this thought that there is in Titus 2, verse 11 and verse 14, he talks about how the grace of God, and the Holy Spirit's called the Spirit of Grace, but it says he will teach us, okay, how to live in this world. And here's the thought I want to get across real quick. Praying in the language of the Holy Spirit will help to insulate you in this world. You know, the scripture says that we're in this world, but we're not of this world. And so when we're in this world walking through it, there are things that will try to attach itself to your life. You know, thoughts and fears. I mean, we have a lot of things going on in the world today around us. And, you know, there are people that are fearful. There are people that, you know, there have been thoughts and ideas that have come to them and lodged in their hearts and their minds. But thank God, when you spend time praying the Holy Spirit, those things can fall off, okay, so that you can walk here in this world insulated. There's just things that you're not even going to experience. I like what it says over in Psalms 91. It says, it talks about all of the things. It says, none of these things shall harm you. Praise God. There's things that you don't have to go through in this life. And when we pray in the language of the Holy Spirit, okay, he's gonna help to insulate us. Here's another thought for you. When we pray in the language of the Holy Spirit, we're yielding our tongue to the Lord. We're bringing it under His lordship. Over in James chapter 3 and verse 5, it talks about how the tongue is an unruly evil. And of course, I think we're all well aware of how our words, the things that we can say, can stir up problems. You know, sometimes I think we've all had this happen. We've said something, and afterwards you're going, man, I wished I would not have said that. If I could take those words back, you know, because you know it could hurt somebody or it causes problems. When we pray in the language of the Holy Spirit, it brings our tongue under the control so that there's times, you know, I thank God I've been praying in the language of the Holy Spirit, and I started to say something. Maybe I'm thinking something, and I think, I'm not going to say that. And afterwards, I was like, man, I'm so glad I didn't say that. Lord, thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you that you're helping me. He gives an inner control. He helps us because we've been yielding our tongue to Him, okay? Then when there's opportunity to say things, stuff doesn't come out. I remember we were over in Poland doing some ministry years ago, and I had a situation where I was driving this van full of these people. We had a team, and it had been real rainy, and you know how there's a lot of moisture in the air. In this particular van, it had a real problem. I couldn't, the windows were all fogging up in the van, and so I was having a horrible time. And of course, you get a bunch of warm bodies in that van, and it's just steaming the windows, and so we're trying to rub and got the fans blowing and everything, but I'm driving down the road, and I'm a two-lane road, or, you know, four-lane road. I'm in two lanes, and I'm passing a bus, and I'm trying to get over. And anyway, this guy in this little Polsky Fiat, these are like totally dinky little cars, just zips by me. And I could not see him. I didn't see him. And so I almost hit him. You know, I wasn't, you know, just one of those weird things that happens. So this guy is like, he zips ahead of me, and then he just slams on his brakes. I mean, we're talking, you know, a car to the side, you know, and he jumps out and he comes back and he's like, you know, ripping my door open to, you know, he's going to pull me out. And, you know, there was a grace of God on me that I did not react to this guy. It was the Lord. I mean, you know, and thank God, the Holy Spirit. I mean, I didn't say anything I shouldn't say. There was, and it was kind of funny because the guy sitting behind me, he was a police officer from, I think, up in New Haven, Connecticut, and he was on this missions team. Big guy. I mean, we're talking seriously big guy. And he was just like, afterwards, he was like, he says, man, he says, I was about ready to come over that seat if that guy did anything. He says, how did you do that? And I was like, well, we'll give the Lord glory there. But I'm just saying, when you spend time praying in the Holy Ghost, He's going to help you have a control over your tongue. He's going to help you exercise self-control because the Lord knows I'm not perfect, and my wife could probably tell some stories, but she's not. She's going to, anyway, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So praying in the language of the Holy Spirit insulates us, okay, yields our tongue to Him, brings things to our remembrance, shows us the future, helps us to pray the perfect will of God, edifies and builds us up, okay? We speak directly to God, sensitizes our spirit, helps us to be more God-conscious. I'm just going to list a few here real quick. Refreshing. In Isaiah 28, verses 11 and 12, it talks about with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people, and it says, I'll give them a rest and a refreshing. You know, when you spend time praying in that prayer language, there is a refreshing that comes in your life that can't be explained, okay? You know, it's better than anything you can come up with in the natural. It brings refreshing. Another benefit, we give thanks and praise to God. Over there in Acts chapter 2, when you look back, I'm just going to flip over. I'll give the quick reference to you here real quick. It says, I think I had it written down here, verse 11, Acts 2 and 11, it talked about the people that heard the initial outpouring. It says, and we hear them. They heard all these people speaking in their languages. As we hear them in our own tongues speaking the wonderful works of God. You know, I remember very distinctly as a young man, before I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I would be praying and I was like, Lord, I just had this something inside. I just wanted to say something. I wanted to express myself. But it's like I reached the limit of my language. And I remember one of the wonderful things of being baptized in the Holy Spirit and beginning to speak in other tongues was that suddenly I could express and praise God, and there was such a satisfaction that came inside because I gave praise well. The Holy Spirit helped me to worship God in another dimension, another level. So that's another benefit there. And I'll just, a couple more here real quick. I'll just give them to you real quick. Keeping yourselves in the love of God. Jude verses 20 and 21. We were over there a little bit ago. But when you pray in the language of the Holy Spirit, it will help you stay in the love of God. Keep you in the love of God in situations. You know, sometimes when somebody says something to you or, you know, something happens, it's like, you know, your flesh and your mind, you're wanting to say some things or do some things. And you pray in that prayer language, He will help you to stay in the love of God. Amen? Amen? Amen. And then, of course, we saw in Acts 1:8, He gives us power to witness. There's a supernatural ability that comes to be witnesses here in the earth. Amen? So let me just close with a couple of thoughts here. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. I want to encourage you today to cultivate a habit, and I'm using the word habit on purpose, of praying in the language of the Holy Spirit. It is something, it's a gift, that tool that God's given to you. And I want to encourage you to utilize that tool, that gift that God has given to you by praying regularly. You know, you can pray out loud. You can pray quietly. You don't have to make a big scene. Matter of fact, you know, when I talk about this a lot of times, you know, and especially, you know, overseas, you know, because sometimes we're dealing with people that are really new to the things of God in church. I always say, you don't have to be weird, okay? Being Spirit-filled, Pentecostal, charismatic, whatever you want to call yourself, you don't have to be weird, okay? Matter of fact, you can be the most normal person, supernaturally normal. But praying in the language of the Holy Spirit, you can pray quietly under your breath. Nobody even has to know. Okay, you can pray out loud. The Bible says here in 1 Corinthians 14, it says to pray and to sing. Sing in the Spirit, sing with your understanding. Pray with your in the Spirit, pray in the understanding. You can pray in both. Okay? Matter of fact, sometimes as I'm praying in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will show me things to pray out in English. Things I wouldn't have even thought of in my natural mind. It just comes to me. Pray this out. So I can pray those things out. So I want to encourage you to pray. I like what it says in 1 Corinthians 14, 18. Paul speaking, and he says, I thank my God I pray in tongues more than you all. He was a good Southerner. Okay? More than you all. So he obviously spent much time praying in the language of the Holy Spirit. And that's an example for us. And so today as we close, I just want to leave these thoughts with you and some things to encourage you. You know that I believe God has greater things, deeper things for each one of us. And maybe there's been some areas in your life where, as I've been sharing today, but you know, sometimes you think, oh man, I wished I'd known that, or I went through this or that or the other. Listen, There is no condemnation in Christ. Okay? Anything we're sharing here today, it's not meant to criticize you or any experiences you've had in your life. You know, we've all walked through things in life, and you know, later on down the path of life, we find out that the Lord had a better way, or maybe there were things that we just didn't know. You know what? Forgive yourself, forgive others, get up and keep going. Okay, we have a race to run, and I want to encourage you in your race. And matter of fact, why don't we just stand up together? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, we just honor you and worship you here today. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you speak to each one of us and encourage each one of us. Lord, that you are for us. You're not against us. You're not against any one of us. Lord, you love us with a love that we can't even comprehend. It's a deep love, a great love. That your plans and purposes for our life are for good, not for evil, to give each one of us a hope, an expected end, a future, as you said in Jeremiah 29:11. Lord, thank you for that. Lord, we